Welcome to the UPT Bound Podcast, Episode 4. Here's where we talk all things military pilot training and try to give you the tools to go from dreaming of becoming a military aviator to actually getting to pilot training and beyond. This week, we are going to talk about the Flying Class 1 physical. This is also known as the FC1 flight physical. This is the physical that all potential pilots or aviators have to go through in order to get to pilot training, to come back qualified saying that you are physically capable of flying whatever aircraft they're going to assign you to. I just got done with my flight physical a little over a week ago, so I've been trying to record this podcast as fresh as I can as far as being fresh in my mind, trying to remember all the things that I did. And I'm sure that I'll probably forget a few things that are probably minute and not that big of a deal. But for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. There's not a whole lot of things that, you know, people are not expecting to get checked for your flying physical. It's all pretty straightforward. This week we're going to go ahead and dive right into that and hopefully get some more questions answered from you all, the listeners, in the feedback folder at uptfeedback@gmail.com. So following this episode, if you all have any more questions over things we've already talked about, or if there's a certain topic that you would like to have covered on this show, please feel free to leave me an email. One more time, the email address is uptfeedback@gmail.com. All right, we're going to go ahead and dive right in here. All right, so right back to it. What are you to expect going into your flight physical? Number one, you should expect to have just about zero control over the experience. This is kind of the first time since you decided to become an Air Force pilot that you are not really in the driver's seat at this point. You've been selected. You got selected to go to the board, you were interviewed, you got the phone call, they told you you have the job, and now they're going to go and see if you're physically qualified to do this. There's not a whole lot you can do to prepare for it. I'm just going to go ahead and kind of spout off in order kind of the things they do check for. That way you can kind of see that there's not really a whole lot you can do. And then I'll kind of get into the process of how that all worked. But my first day that I went, the first thing that they checked, they did was, you know, they drew a bunch of blood. So you're going to get a lot of blood tests. They, you know, test everything. I don't even know everything that they're testing. But they take a lot of blood and they run it through a series of tests. You do a urinalysis, so you get to pee in a cup. And they test a lot of different things, you know, proteins and things like that. And then you do an EKG. Which is, from what all I understand in my non-medical mind, is that an EKG just kind of monitors your heart and kind of gives you a printout of what your heart is doing, its health, making sure there's no abnormal rhythms or things like that. You're going to sit down and go over your medical history with a doctor. You're going to have dental exams, dental x-rays. You're going to do height and weight checks. From what I remember, the height and weight deal is, I think 245 pounds is the magic number. They're making sure that you are going to be able to fit in the cockpit during pilot training, and that I think 245. I may be completely wrong. Somebody can correct me if I am wrong, but I think 245 is kind of what the ejection seats are rated at. So they want to make sure that you're going to be able to fit and that the ejection seat is going to be able to push you out of that airplane in case it needs to. Height, weight, your standard, like you go to the doctor. They're going to take your blood pressure. A lot of eye exams. So, eye thing. So, you know, depth perception. If you've been to an eye doctor before, I think it's pretty straightforward. You've done this kind of stuff before. I had never been to an eye doctor, so this was new to me. But depth perception, color blindness, near and far vision. You're going to get your eyes dilated. And, you know, they put this weird thing on your eye. It's going to kind of shoot this high pressure to your eyeball. You don't really feel anything. It's just, it's kind of a weird sensation. And that's about it. That all of those things are wrapped up into about 2 to 2.5 days of sitting around waiting for nurses and doctors to come get you and to do that kind of stuff. So, like I said, you know, as you kind of go through that list of things I just spouted off, there's not a whole lot you can do. You can't change your eyes. You can't. I mean, but the only thing you can do is kind of stay away from caffeine for a couple of weeks before you go. That way, you're not giving your heart some kind of abnormal rhythm, you know, rhythms or anything like that. And but other than that, I mean, make healthy choices. Just be a healthy person. Exercise, things like that. But as far as the eye, you can't really change if you're colorblind or not. You can't really change if you have bad depth perception. You can't really change if, you know, the cornea of your eye is too thin or too large. So there's just a lot of things in this process that are just out of your control. So the number one piece of advice that I would give is just try to stay as relaxed as you can and just know that there's not a whole lot you can do to prepare yourself for this. So that is what the physical is. That is everything that they're checking for, is, you know, to my knowledge, those are the things that I did. And then the last day you're there, you do a psychological evaluation. And it's basically, it is a 4-hour test, 4.5-hour test. And the, you know, basic personality questions, that some cognitive stuff. But you sit at a computer, and I don't think you can fail it. I think it's just one of those things. They just have to kind of establish a baseline, as a psychological baseline for you. And then, so that is what the FC1 is. That is what they are checking whenever you go. So where you're going is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. It is a huge base. And I'd never been to Dayton, Ohio before either. So, other things you can do to kind of prepare for yourself, prepare for that is, just kind of, you know, talk with your travel office or whoever's in charge of doing your travel plans at your unit. You know, just kind of coordinate with them on how they will take care of how you get there. Whether you want to fly or you want to drive, they'll go ahead and get everything set up. You'll be on orders that week that you're there. So, I mean, you'll be paid to get there, so make sure you take all the time off that you need. And then, yeah, that's it. That is the flight physical. There's not a whole lot more to it than that, and just try and relax. Just try and relax and get there and kind of find where you need to be and get some good rest, and that's about it. I don't have really much more else to say about it than that. So, but anyways, if you guys have any questions about the flight physical, please go ahead and feel free to email me at uptfeedback@gmail.com. I am more than happy to answer your questions and try and put more content out there if I wasn't very clear about how it all works. It'll be a good week. It'll be a stressful week because you'll be wondering, what are they doing? They're poking and prodding me everywhere. But it'll be a good week. You'll get to meet some really cool people. I was with a group full of guys, but there was a group of guys and girls from ROTC that were there as well. Good group of people, you know. Take some time to get to know them. There's a good chance you might be in their UPT class coming up in the next 6 months or so. But this was my experience. I just finished it, so I wanted to go ahead and try and get this episode out really quick while I could remember all the testing that they did on me. and just kind of the things that I learned, you know. Another recommendation I have is the National Museum of the United States Air Force is there right next to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. It's a free museum. It is huge. I've been to the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and that's a great museum too. But this one had far more aircraft, and it was just incredible. Some of the things that I learned there that I had no idea, and I'm an aviation junkie. I am an av geek, an av nerd, and there's some things that I learned, and I was like, wow, it was just mind-blowing and incredible. And I highly recommend, if you have some time, to go ahead and go to the Air Force Museum there. But, I guess one more piece of advice, you know, you're going to be there for 2.5-3 days. Plan on being there for a week. Make sure you take something with you to keep yourself busy, because like most Air Force buildings, you won't have very good cell reception. So you'll be doing a lot of waiting around, waiting for nurses or waiting for doctors to come and call you out and to do different testing. So make sure you take a book or something to read or something to do. And like I said, again, this is the third time I'm telling you, just try and relax and just try and make the best of it, and understand that, you know, you are not necessarily in control of the process. You know, treat everybody there with respect. The staff at the Air Force Base, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, was incredibly accommodating. They really try and make you feel relaxed and welcome, and it is not like anything else military physical wise that I've done before, where they're just kind of herding a bunch of, you know, you feel like you're in a herd of cattle. This is very different. Not near as many people. And, you know, they really are trying to do what they can to get you to pass your flight physical. I did not get the impression that they were trying to go out and fail anybody. You know, so just kind of be patient with everyone, and they will do what they can to try and help you out. So that is episode 4. That is the Flying Class 1 physical. The Air Force physical. I cannot speak to the Marine Corps or the Navy or the Army, whatever their aviation physical criteria is. I can just give you my experience, my recent experience, and it may change. It may change depending on when you go, and maybe it has changed since you've gone, if you've already gone and you're listening to this. But once again, let me go ahead and throw that out there. If you have any questions or anything you'd like me to talk about on the show, email me at uptfeedback@gmail.com. All right, everybody, for those of you who are in the hunt for your UPT slot, stay dedicated, stay motivated, stay disciplined, keep your head up. Think, you know, the Air Force needs pilots. The Air Force needs pilots, and they need you to keep applying. So just hang in there and do the best that you can. All right. We'll go ahead and we'll wrap this up, and we will talk to you all next week.